John chapter 5. Now after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease in which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day, therefore the Jews were saying to him who was cured, "It is a Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your pallet and walk?'" But he who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will do, show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you are willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Amen. So the Chapter 5 starts at the healing in the pool of Bethesda. This is a very kind of interesting miracle, in that this miracle is different than all the other miracles, particularly in the book of John, because this was something that was actually repetitive. It says here that every once in a while, an angel would go and stir in this pool. Now, Bethesda actually means mercy. And so this was the pool of mercy. And this is in the Aramaic, in the Hebrew Aramaic. And so this was a very popular place for the sick and for the crippled. And in fact, the way it was structured, it says five porticos. In other words, there were five porches or columns that the sick can rest in. And so this was a common meeting place for the indigent in many ways. And so the angel would come and every once in a while stir the water. Again, this is a very unusual miracle. There's actually some debate in the church about even this passage. And some manuscripts actually don't contain the end of chapter 3, or not chapter, verse 3 and verse 4, because it seems so odd. But obviously, John is writing this, and there are plenty of other manuscripts that do include this. And it seems like the witness is true in this regard. And so people were, I guess, continually healed during this time. And then there was a man, and note the descriptor that's laid out. Remember, John, he says, going all the way back to John 20 that we shared a few days ago, he said there's many more miracles that Jesus did, but John's handpicking some. And so whenever you see, again, these signs or a miracle that Jesus is doing, it's more than just healing the individual. There's another message behind it. And so here we have this guy. He's 38 years, he's more than 38 years old, but he's been sick for 38 years. So he's been crippled. So he probably had some accident. You probably imagine when he was a young boy, maybe, he couldn't walk because he couldn't go down into the pool. So he was lame in his leg in some way. And so Jesus, again, knowing his condition, walks up to him and look at the question. Do you wish to get well? It could be a pretty dumb question, to be honest. I'm not saying Jesus gave a dumb question, okay? Jesus did everything right. But, I mean, what sick people doesn't want to get well? But notice the guy's response. If someone would come to you, hey, do you want to get well? The answer would have been, yes, I want to get well. But what does he start doing? He starts, well, I try to go down to the pool. As soon as I see the water, but I'm too lame, I can't go down, and then someone steps in front of me, and so on and so forth. But notice a couple of characteristics about this person. Okay, one, man, this guy is persevering. You know what I mean? I believe that's why he chose this guy. And he didn't give the right answer. He didn't give the logical answer. But even though he was at this pool, the waters were stirred, and he couldn't get in, but he stuck around, and he persevered. So even though there's not too many things to like about this guy, man, I like the fact that he's persevering, and I also think Jesus did as well. And so he persevered. He didn't give him the right answer or the logical answer. And so Jesus, after he shares, he says, all right, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well, took up his pallet, and began to walk. And so, unfortunately, it was a Sabbath day. That is the main point of this miracle. So Jesus is picking a guy, and this would have been an authenticating miracle. I mean, 38 years this guy was sick. And he was around in this place publicly, so most people there would have probably known him, hanging out by the pool of Bethesda probably for years. Comes to him, but he comes to him on a Sabbath day. And then the Jews come over to him. Notice, they have no compassion on this guy in the sense that, oh, you're well. That actually doesn't even dawn on them whatsoever. Like, this is like a serious miracle that takes place. It's more like, hey, why are you taking your pallet? You know, why are you doing work on the Sabbath? And so they begin to ascertain, okay, and basically the guy's deflecting. Well, actually, it was some guy told me to do it, so it's really not my fault. And so if you find that guy, you deal with him, basically. And so they're like, who is it? And, you know, Jesus slips away. Then the Lord comes to him. He sees him at the temple. And look at verse 14. This is a very, very interesting verse. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. And now you see the relationship between sin and our health. Now, listen very carefully, okay? Not every health issue is related to our sin, okay? And so I know there's a school of thought that says that if you have, you know, if you have pancreatic cancer, it's because of 1, 2, 3, you know, these sins. If you have ovarian cancer, it's because of 1, 2, 3. If you have migraines, it's because of this sin. And, you know, I don't think that's what this passage is saying. I don't think it's like a one-on-one kind of thing. But there is a relationship between sin and health. And so it's not always that case because, okay, let me give you an illustration, all right? I hurt my shoulder, or you guys know I had surgery last year on my shoulder. It's like 85%, and so I'm really happy about that. I'll settle for 85% right now. Now, my shoulder is not a result of any sin per se, except maybe my own stupidity more than anything else. And this is just too much volleyball, too much years of playing baseball, too much abuse, basically, on my shoulder. And unfortunately, when I was the last few seasons that I've been playing softball in Hong Kong, my shoulder has been hurting the whole time. But all I would do is when my shoulder would hurt, I would actually just change my throwing angle. You know, as I was playing shortstop. And then when that throwing angle hurt, I would change my throwing angle again. And then by the end of the year, I was almost throwing sidearm, you know, back to first base. Now, that's not a result of sin. Okay, and so, you know, I tore my labrum, I tore my rotator cuff, and, you know, all kinds of damage there. That's just a result of overuse. So you guys understand what I'm saying, okay? And so there'll be times where there'll be injury and there'll be things. In fact, most, if you listen to a lot of doctors these days, most of our illnesses actually are probably more related to our diet and our lack of exercise than unforgiveness or then you're angry at your mom, you know, and you have this kind of illness. I just wanted to just be able to give us a balance, you know, in understanding this. But there is a relationship between sin and our health, and that makes total sense. Because remember, Paul comes on the scene, and he says, for the wages of sin is death. And death has all different kinds of ramifications alongside of that. So the man went away. He told the Jews all that's happened. And then Jesus drops this bomb on these guys. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, I've looked at this phrase many, many times. And in my modern reading of this passage, I do not come to the same conclusion that the Jews did. And so to me, he's just saying, oh, yeah, my Father's working, and so I'm also working. Sounds legit. Okay, sounds good. But when the Jews heard this statement, it says they wanted to kill him. Now, it's not like they said, you know, like Jesus said, your mama, you know, like, you know, something derogatory towards them. He just said, my Father's working, and so I'm also working. And then they want to kill him because of this. So I'm losing something in the translation. You know what I mean? And that's why it's important for us to know how to do effective Bible study. Because, again, you're dealing with something that happened thousands of years ago, and the language and the nuance and the meaning are very different than what it means right now. And so we need to be a student of God's Word. Obviously, the Bible, John tells us, it says, "For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he said he's working with his dad. Because he was not only breaking Sabbath," that was one, that was a minor infraction, "but also was calling God his own father, making himself equal with God." That was the main issue. And that becomes the main issue going throughout the New Testament in this regard. And so then Jesus gives this eloquent speech, teaching more than anything else. And he says some things that really cut to the heart in this way. Verse 42, "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves." In other words, you are just religious people. You just don't love God at all. And he says, look, I'm not your judge. Your judge is Moses. Because I'll read this, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." Now we understand this. He is claiming to be God. This one you can't, you know, the other one in verse 17, but this one, even in our own modern language, we can understand, okay, now the Pharisees know exactly what he's saying to them. And so this is a warning in many ways in relating to who we are as people of God. There are religious people are interested in rules and regulations, but not in the person. The person almost means nothing besides the rules and the regulations. And that's basically what he's dealing with these Pharisees. They're just so fixated on the law. But the law is a misreading of the law more than anything else. And they're so fixated on following rules and making sure that everyone else follow these rules. But Jesus, and you'll see this as a theme throughout the New Testament, that he's always healing people on the Sabbath. I mean, just logically speaking, if Jesus wanted to be more successful in Israel and have more friends and all these kinds of things, I mean, think about it. This guy was sick for 38 years. Surely he could wait one more day. You know, I mean, come on. Can you just wait one more day? Why do you always have to heal people on the Sabbath? Because he's making a commentary on the folly of the Jewish system, but it's more that the inability of that system to save. And it's so fixated on rules, you know, that you totally forget about the person. You'll notice Jesus is so different. He's always focused on the person, always. A woman comes to him caught in adultery. The rules say that we should stone him or stone this person. And Jesus is beyond the rules, right? And he forgives and he loves and he sets them free. But he says, don't sin anymore, right? And so, you know, there's part of that that's also attached to this as well. The last thing I want just to share about real quick is the whole idea of judgment. And in verse 24, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And Jesus is using Moses' words. He's using the words of Passover, being that this is happening during Passover. And so he's giving us this picture of what Passover is doing now. Not the Old Testament form, but now the New Testament form of Passover. And he says that you believe. That's all you need to do. You believe outside of works. The works are a different issue. You believe your sins are forgiven. And now, in fact, you don't even get to be judged. This is the believer's judgment. We don't get judged. Our works get judged. That's different than our sins being judged. And so this is the beauty of the gospel. All those things that we did, all the bad stuff that we did, man, you're forgiven. Isn't that amazing? You're totally forgiven. He says, I remember no more. I buried in the deepest sea as far as the east is from the west. That's how far I've removed your transgressions from us. And so it's important for us to recognize that we are stepping into our relation with God, with our relation with the Lord, clean. Now, you have to maintain, okay, and whatnot. But in terms of our salvation is secured in that there is eternal life that comes to us. All right, so let's close our eyes. The paralytic really is a great depiction of us. And I think that's why John chose him. The paralytic, not only is he lame, but and we all have lameness in many different ways, but he is totally incapable of doing anything about it. In other words, the waters are stirred, but people just jump the queue all the time. And in that very similar way, we also are totally incapable, in and of ourselves, to come to wholeness. The word actually in the original Greek, where it says, do you want to get well? Actually, the better translation, Jesus asked, do you want to be whole? And in of ourselves, we are incapable of coming into wholeness. But again, Jesus is here. And he can do it. And so if you're struggling with something in your life, pursue Jesus. Don't try to do it on your own strength, but submit and give it to the Lord. Now, the other side too, another point of prayer, is this whole idea of being religious. Many of us are in ministry. Many of us are serving in different ministries, as a house church leader, or as pastors, or on the worship team, or whatnot. Ask yourself this question while you're serving. Are rules more important than the person? Or does the person trump the rules? I mean, within reason. And that way, are we, in our ministry, are we more like the Pharisees? Are we more like Jesus? Right, so as we worship, let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
Thank you. have done, we will pour out a love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the
Let's pray for the Lord. Let's bring to Jesus all of our lameness. Let's bring to Him all of the areas of our life that are broken, that are not whole. Because He is able. Not only is able, He's willing. Let's go before the Lord. And if you're struggling with something, something's going on in your own life, just bring it to the Lord. He's gracious and He's kind. It's abounding in loving kindness and truth. I believe the Lord is standing before you today and asking, do you want to be whole? Let's answer affirmatively and then give ourselves to Him. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that are battling cancer and going through chemo and going through a recovery from surgery. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia today, and let's lift up Grace and ask for God's blessings upon her. Let's pray for her ministry at Bloom, that the Lord would continue to use her. And I know Bloom is planning to open another branch in Cebu in the Philippines, and let's pray for God's hand upon Ruth and Murray for that as well. And let's just pray for Cambodia. Ask for Holy Spirit to flow through this place. Let's lift up. Let's pray for IP Well in Cascade. Let's pray for the leaders. Pray for all the volunteers that are part of the ministries that are doing the work of that ministry. Let's pray for His anointing and protection as they minister effectively. Thank you. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's lift up Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our pastors and our teachers that are serving in these ministries. Let's pray for our kids, our high school students and college students, that they would just fall deeper in love with the Lord through this ministry. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights and the Homely Outreach. Let's pray that the Lord would use our servants to really make an impact out in Wan Chai and also in the homes. Let's lift up. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's pray for Sin Miao. Let's ask the Lord to bless her. Pray for God to renew her DNA and memories and routines. Pray that we build family and for her to build a new family and new identity on her career path. Let's pray. Let's pray for Andrew Lee. Let's pray for a deeper intimacy with Abba Father. Let's pray for salvation of her mother and sister and his sister, and then also healing for his allergies and asthma. Let's lift up Andrew. Let's pray for Candy Low. Let's pray for healing for her best friend Yan, stage 4 cancer. Let's pray for Yan and her husband would accept the Lord, and her parents and grandparents would accept Christ as well. Let's pray for Candy, her friend and family. We thank you that you are a caring God, compassionate God, and your desire, Lord, is for all of us to be whole, that we be healed, God, from our brokenness, Lord. And I pray, God, that you, as you stand before each one of us, Lord, as you ask, do you want to be whole? Lord, I pray that all of our heart, our mind, our soul would cry out yes, and then take the necessary steps, God. So come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into your wholeness, God. We thank you, Lord. Let it happen today. Lord, today, Lord, let us give your Son Jesus all the glory that he deserves, because he is God. And so we thank you. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.